Hi, my name is Tessie, and I am a food addict. It's wonderful to, somebody talked about Beyond My Wildest Dreams. I'll tell you what hit me hard when I heard that. You, all of you, are beyond my wildest dreams. Thank you. Thank you for letting me do my shtick here. I came into program January of 1986, and it was Los Angeles. And I'm going to show you a picture. And the reason why I do that, after I had shed most of my weight, I was a speaker at a newcomer meeting. It was in Reseda when the office used to be in Reseda, and this gal before the meeting, she came up to me. She was a newcomer, and I'll never forget this. She said, "What are you doing here in my fat meeting?" So, this is me when I. 3 years before I actually joined. I was, some of you old timers will remember Phil Donahue, and he had brought his program to Los Angeles, and I got a ticket, and I did a VHS. You old timers will remember the old tape kind of thing, and I recorded it, and as it turned out, the camera it scanned and it found me, and so I had a friend capture it. Well, I'll tell you, it's been an interesting journey for me. The almost 38 and a half years. When I came into program, my first meeting, I walked in and it was in Sherman Oaks, and I saw these things called steps, and they talked about God. Well, I was not going to have anything to do with that, so I left. And I got hurt even more 12 months later. And then I had this moment of clarity that I believe with all my heart was my step one before I even went to a meeting and really took hold. I knew that there was something real wrong with me mentally because I knew there was just something really bizarre and strange what I was doing with food. There really was something wrong with me, and that scared the hell out of me. So I go back and I go to the meeting, and I say to myself, okay, I'll go to meetings. But this God thing, these steps, all of that crap, I'll get one ear and out the other, and I'll go to meetings. So that's what I did. Because I was so morbidly obese, I couldn't stand to be around people because I just knew they were staring at me. So I had a graveyard shift job downtown Los Angeles working at a law firm. So it was the custodian, me, and the vacuum cleaner. And I could handle that. So because of that, I was able to go back then in Los Angeles. I don't know what it's like now, but back then it seemed like there were around the clock meetings. Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, you name it, there were meetings going on. So I was going maybe three meetings a day, and I did that for 9 months. And so during those 9 months, the physical allergy they talked about, well, I was working on that. I was just getting smaller and smaller. And I'd walk into meetings and people would say, "Oh, Tessie, you're working such a strong program. You look so wonderful." I wasn't working any program. I was just on a diet and going to meetings. So I'll never forget this. Again, the same Sherman Oaks meeting. I'm taking a CHIP for 9 months of abstinence. And you know what my head is telling me? I'm thinking that I'm going to go back out again. Now, why did that happen? All that ego boosting from the fellowship. Oh, you look so wonderful. All these clothes, I was getting smaller. I thought I was looking wonderful. But I knew I was about to go back out again. So thank heavens I was graced with fear and terror. And what I mean by grace, I was given an undeserved favor. So I thought to myself, okay, I'll get sponsored. And it was a place in Sherman Oaks, a room, a Saturday meeting I had never been to. And there was this old couple sitting in there. Well, I looked at them. They were my age. Actually, they were even older, and I'm going to be 76. They didn't have anything I wanted, but they were giving this other guy, some of the old timers might remember Bill B. And they were giving him a chip for 15 years abstinence. So I'm thinking, well, if he has 15 years, I'll ask them. I go up to him after the meeting, and I go up to the woman. Her husband is staying there also. And I say to her, will you please sponsor me? I'll do anything that you ask of me. So the first thing she asked me, well, Tessie, will you surrender one day at a time your sugar? You know what this food addict said? I don't have a problem with sugar. So she didn't laugh, she didn't frown. So she asked me again, Tessie, will you surrender your sugar one day at a time? This time around, I got a little crazier. I opened my mouth so she could see I had no cavities. Therefore, I must not have a problem with sugar. So she didn't frown. She didn't walk away. She didn't laugh. She actually asked me a third time. And the third time, I did not hear the word sugar. I heard the word surrender. And I tell you, after working those steps for over 38 years, you know what surrender is for me? It's not a feeling. What it is for me, it's a disciplinary action. And after all these years, I don't measure my recovery.
Is Tessie frozen? Yeah. Does anyone have her cell phone? Oh, she's got it right there. Okay. We might just
Is
let her.
frozen. Are
Yeah.
you there?
There you are.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened. You look frozen. So I don't know.
And you were frozen
Anyway.
to us, so go
I would say,
I
Tessie, it's probably about a whole minute, maybe a minute and a half, just FYI.
Oh, that I that you, that I was frozen?
Not
Oh.
that long. Not that long.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to share with you that after working these disciplines one day at a time, all these years, and the word surrender, I thought that that was a feeling waiting for it. God was going to zap me. No, surrender for me all these years has meant a disciplinary action, taking the action. Isn't it interesting that those first 100 drunks that wrote the big book, they didn't write a chapter into self-knowledge. They didn't write a chapter into thinking. They didn't write a chapter into feelings, but they did write a chapter into actions. So the old man is listening to me, and finally I tell her, okay, I will surrender my sugar. That was taking the action. I didn't want to do it. I was taking the action. He looks at me and he says, Tessie, do you think you can get stupid? Why, I had my second moment of grace, undeserved favor. This ego of mine was not bruised. I wasn't thinking, how dare you speak to me that way? No, what I heard is, are you teachable? I knew that's what he meant. And I'm going to tell you something. They're 6 feet under my sponsors, but they're still living. They're living in me. You know why? Because I'm doing every single discipline that they gave me all those decades ago. They're still alive in me. And then I have sponsees. God bless my sponsees. I'm not doing them a favor. They're doing me a favor. They make me share my program, my disciplines over and over, because part of my addiction is amnesia. So I'm very grateful for them. And there's another thing. My biggest spiritual awakening in this program, you know what it is? I'm not spiritual. Never will be. I'm an addict. And I always will be, because it's my nature. I was born with it. As even as a little child, I was a thief. I stole. And then it even got worse when this food addiction kicked in. Little did, you know, for the first 6 years of my life, I didn't have the food addiction. My mother had to force me to eat. And then I'll never forget this. I'm talking about somebody who's going to be turning 76. I remember she puts a plate, a piece of steak, and all of a sudden this little girl, me, I'm looking at the steak. It took on such emotional, wonderful nirvana kind of effect on me. Even the anticipation of getting to it. My God, that little girl had no idea how her life was going to change for the rest of her life. Another thing, after working these steps, and this is just my awakening, I really do just have a daily reprieve. That's what the big book says. I can't get clean today on yesterday's shower. That step 10 tells me that. It says, when you've messed up, Tessie, you're either going to have to make an amends or do something, because it's going to happen. So I just have a daily reprieve. I'm so grateful that I know that with all my heart. So you know what that means to me? Everybody who is sitting in this meeting right now, the one that woke up the earliest this morning, you are the one with the longest abstinence. That's what that means to me. Another thing, another awakening, is that, you know, when it says it's weakness that will bind us, not strength, I know now what that means. I thought that I was, you know, it was, well, I would have to be Miss OA. My awakening is that I am Misfit OA. That is my character flaws that are of asset to others. I'm not a saint and never will be. So that's the reason why I have a daily reprieve, not only from the food, but my character flaws. That's the reason why I have to continue to do spiritual inventory. You know, my program, Dr. Bob kept telling Bill W., keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. So I'll tell you how simple my program is. It's on page 25 in the big book. And what it says, the paragraph, there is a solution. It's very simple what it says I have to do. The first thing is you have to do a searching inventory. So step 10 says, whenever you're disturbed, Tessie, it's a spiritual axiom that there is something, a problem with you. Those sponsors gave me this inventory to do. You do this inventory, Tessie, before you call us and want us to put a Band-Aid on your boo-boo, because then we're doing all the work. Man, I fought that discipline. Man, did I fight that. But man, it's the first thing I want to do now. And if I can't let go of something, I go back to the inventory and I ask, I write the question down. What's really your problem, Tessie? I have to identify some sort of defect. It might be I don't have your approval. It might be that I'm jealous of your spiritual program, or it might be that I'm harboring a resentment. I have to look at me, my side of the street. Then I have to write the question down. What are you willing to do about it? I either write down, I'll pause. It may be I have to make an amends. So that's what, there is a solution. First thing, searching inventory. Then it says that I have to look at my defects. That I have to look at my defects. And not only do I have to look at them, I have to share them with another person. So just, did you say I had 5 minutes left? Is that right? Let me get you with what has happened. When I came into program, I was morbidly obese. I was an atheist, and I suffered much from PTSD. I no longer have any of that. The PTSD came from my brother who tried to drown me when I was 10. When I was 25, I was raped. The aftermath of that, I couldn't have children. And my first husband beat me and spat on me when I lived in Los Angeles. I was finally able to get away from him. I lived in a van for a while to stay away from him, and I would park it in Sherman Oaks, Studio City, any residential area. And then a friend took pity. I ended up on a couch. He said, you can have my couch until you can get yourself together. That is where I found myself when I joined program. So what does this mean? I have been given to accept life on life's terms. My brother died of a heroin overdose. I came back to Phoenix to take care of my mother, 24/7 caregiver. I found her dead on the floor. I took care of my father, his 24/7 caregiver, for 5 years. I married the man of my dreams. I am married to him now. He got cancer. Then I got cancer. I had to have a double mastectomy, and I am not cancer-free yet. I won't be considered that for another 3 years. Talk about living in the moment. And now I am giving, there's a discipline on page 103. It says, repeat a prayer or a mantra, Tessie. When your mind wants to go to the future, which is just a misuse of our imagination. He is dying of cancer, and I'm his 24/7 caregiver. So on my tombstone won't be list of all the countries that Tessie wasn't able to go to. But what will be on my tombstone? Why, Tessie, you were given the opportunity and you stepped up to take care of your mother. Why, Tessie, you were given the opportunity to take care of your father. Why, Tessie, you were given the opportunity to take care of your husband. Man, where is that crazy woman? Where is that self-centered bitch? She meets me every morning because I'm not spiritual. So I have to go look for God. And most of the time I find God. And I am so grateful. I'm grateful for the ups, the downs. I'm grateful for my character flaws. And I'm grateful that I know it's my flaws that are of service. Thank you.